Good morning. It's a blessing to be together again here this morning. I'm a little bit nervous here, but it's probably the testimony of most people that come up here. This morning, we know that if you look at my title, it's not all-inclusive by any means, because there could be dozens and probably hundreds of messages preached on the Word of God and the things that it entails and what it's about. Let's turn to Revelations chapter 19. I have a burden. I've been carrying a burden some time for myself for sure, and also for our young folks. For the young people that are in the congregation, for the young people that are in my home, my children, and that is that we kind of just starve ourselves spiritually, just so we get by. And I'm not saying everybody does that, but I'm saying it's a tendency, and it comes from our enemy, it comes from Satan. But let's read Revelation 19 verses 11 through 16. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, the Word of God. I'm trying to think here. Let's turn to Matthew 13. There's two different titles I wanted to give. I wanted to give this little opening here. Because there was kind of two things on my heart, but they're kind of combined. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it. A better marker here. Jesus, our greatest treasure. I thought about that title. I thought, you know, and it doesn't matter what you title it, but. But that's what's on my heart is Jesus our greatest treasure. What was the first song that we sang here, or maybe the second song that we sang this morning? I was going to write it down. But it was the next one maybe. Anyhow, and you made the comment. It wasn't that one. It was the one that John Albee picked. I stand amazed in the presence. You know, and do we stand in the, amazed in the presence of Jesus? If we don't, maybe it's because we don't know Him well enough, or maybe it's because we're growing cold like the Laodiceans did. Maybe, you know, maybe we're starving ourselves. A lot of us went on a short fast here this week, and we know what it feels like to get hungry. We kind of starve ourselves, and it's good for us to do that. We should do it more often. At least I should do it more often for sure. We have, a lot of us have animals, and we know that when we don't feed our animals at all, they'll die. When we don't feed them well, they don't do well either. Well, if we don't feed them the right stuff and feed them enough, they'll get skinny and they'll just be listless. And we're the same way in our spiritual walk. If we don't delve into the Word of God and study it, and I know, Brother Allen is going to be sharing, and I'm really excited about how to study the Bible, and that's not what this is about at all, but I hope that reawakens and drives in all of us more of a thirst and a hunger to study the Word of God and to get into it, because we can just be starving ourselves spiritually. 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to read there. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In 2 Peter 1, I'm going to turn there to 2 Peter Chapter 1, verse 16 through 21. And these are not new things for us, but I would like to inspire, especially our youth, of what the Word of God should be in our life. Verse 16 in 2 Peter 1. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He's talking there about His majesty, about His, there in the Matthew 17, what do you call it? His transfiguration, thank you. He's talking about His transfiguration. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came a voice to Him from the excellent glory. This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But Peter here is saying that we weren't following cunningly devised fables because they heard that voice. They were eyewitnesses of His majesty. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. Peter, John, and James heard that voice. But he's saying here, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that's what this Bible is about. Holy men of God speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And he's saying we have a more sure word. We have a more sure word than that voice that they heard. Now that's an amazing statement. I think I take the Bible much too lightly. David said right after his Psalm of Thanksgiving there in 2 Samuel chapter 22, he has a whole psalm of thanksgiving. Very beautiful. And right into the next chapter, the second verse, he says, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. He's telling us that the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. His word, not my word. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Now this is probably one of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible. That's my opinion. I stand to be corrected. But I say this is probably one of, there's more, but this is one of them. This is not talking about heaven. This is talking about right now. It's talking about the kingdom of God. It's talking about Jesus Christ. If we follow this, it was prophesying in Isaiah about the prophecy. I'm going to read verse 9 again. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And then most people stop right there. But it says this, "But God has revealed them unto us." He has. He's not going to. He has revealed them unto us. How? "By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." I'm just going to make a few comments on that verse. So, and maybe I'm not understanding this verse correctly here, but "for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man?" So no one's really going to know the things about man except another man. He can know it because he has the spirit of man. Like, we don't understand the way a rhinoceros thinks or the way a hog thinks. We can get pretty learned in those things, but we don't understand because we're not a hog, neither are we a rhinoceros. But they don't understand how we think either because they don't have the spirit of man. Okay? "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God." And so, okay. I'm going to read some more here. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So as we sit down to read the Bible in the morning or in the evening, and we sit down in our natural state, and we're just going to do our duty there and read a few words, that's all we're going to get out of it. We're not going to be feeding the spiritual man. We're just going to be taking in the things that are natural, the things of the flesh. We're not going to be connecting with God and see this whole book, as I read to you in 1 Peter 2 verse 21, this whole book was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so if we're not in the Spirit, if we're not reading this and connecting with God in that way, I mean, I'm not trying to make everything spiritual. That's not my heart. But if we're not into this spiritually, we're not going to be getting any food out of it spiritually either. Now, I'm not saying don't read it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying read it in the Spirit. We'll touch more on those things in a little bit. The oneness and the unity of the Bible is a miracle, if we stop and think about it. It's a library of 66 books that were written with over 35 authors over a period of approximately 1,500 years. Some of its authors were kings, farmers, fishermen, teachers, physicians, and more. Subjects that are in the Bible are subjects such as religion, history, law, science, poetry, drama, biography, and prophecy. Those are all the different things that are in here, all those different themes. Biography, history, law, science, poetry, drama. All those things are in here. Yet, with all those different all those different things in here, with all the different authors written over a long period of time, a long span of time, if I can say it right, it is so harmoniously written up. It is just as harmonious as a human body. There's nothing out of saint, out of place. Everything, there's not, this chapter is going to clash with something that's wrote over here. Nothing clashes. Everything is harmonious. Again, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1, I'm going to read there. You don't always have to turn, but you're always welcome to. I have a few different scriptures here I want to turn to. 1 Peter 1, verse 23 to 25. Now the reason, well, I'll read this and then we'll make some comments. 1 Peter 1, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. So, most of us, or a lot of us in here, have been born again. So how are we born again? The Word tells us we're born again by the Word of God. So if we were born again, if we get born again some other way, it's, maybe I shouldn't be too quick to say this, but I'm afraid it's something that doesn't last. If we're born by some other standard, I was taught that I was born again when I was 17 years old because I confessed the 18 hours of faith, and I acknowledged the Bible to be true and that Jesus is Lord. I acknowledged all those things, but I was not born by the Word of God. The Word of God really didn't mean that much to me. I read it in my natural state as a natural man. And until we are born again by the Word of God, and that's, I vividly remember a lot of different scriptures that convicted me and convinced me that I was wrong, that I was living in sin. And that's what the Word of God does. It has all these different things in there. It convinces men of their sin. It also gives us the means to which by which we can escape sin and we can be overcomers. It's all over the Bible. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. Quick means, in the King James Word, means alive. The Word of God is alive. Das Wort Gottes ist lebendig, we say in German. It's alive. And it's powerful. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. We desperately need to bathe ourselves with this Word daily. So here's a quote or something that someone said. And it's quoted several different ways. Alan quoted it one time, and I wrote it in my Bible. And here it's just a little bit different. The Bible will separate man from sin, or sin will separate man from the Bible. So, if we're having a problem reading the Bible, and it's not the way it should be, it's probably there's sin in our life. And it might be even unknown. It might be past anger problems or lust. It could be a whole list of things. But if the Bible isn't alive and we're hungering and thirsting after it, there's probably sin in our life. And if there's not, there soon will be. I'm going to read that quote again. The Bible will separate man from sin, or sin will separate man from the Bible. Psalm 119:11. David knew this concept. The Holy Spirit witnessed this to him. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's verse 11. Verse 101 says, in 119, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. See, if we really want to keep his word, we're going to refrain our feet. We're going to shy away from anything that could take us away from his word. Isaiah 59 verse 2. I should have read this verse before. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's again that same quote that I said, the Bible separate man from sin. That's why that quote is there. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Psalm 119 verse 104. It's just all over that psalm, but I just picked some. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So, that's to be, Revelations is all about being overcomers. And in 1 John we read a lot about being overcomers. And that's our answer for an overcomer. It's not some special recipe. It's the Word of God. It's to soak ourselves to be spiritually discerning the Word of God. Okay, I'm going to turn to 1 John 5. Man, this is taking way too long. I'm sorry. 1 John 5, verses 6 through 12. This is he that came by water and blood. The word, when we think about the word of God, it has many different similarities. I'm just going to bring out a few here. This is he, 1 John 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. Okay, there's three in heaven that bear record. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now, there could be a whole message on that, but I don't have the wisdom to do that. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, for which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, that he believeth not God, that he believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son is life, and he that hath not the Son of God has not life. As we started out in Revelation 19, the Word of God and the Son of God are, we can't separate that. And so if we have the Son, we have life. If we have not the Son, we have not life. If we have the Word, and in verse 7 here, it says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and in verse 8, that bear record on the earth, the Spirit, and the water. So he's making a similarity here. It's the water is also the Word. And there's quite a few more scriptures. In John 3, verse 5, Jesus said, he's talking to Nicodemus there, and he said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So if we have not been born, And most of us have, but there's people in here, there's young people in here and older people that have not been born by the Word. Jesus said, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's an absolute. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, As newborn babes, we could be talking to the youth here, and some of them were just converted here in the last several weeks. So as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, just like we give the calves milk, that they may grow thereby. We need to desire the milk of the Word. That's how we grow. And then verse 3 there says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If Jesus has become good and kind, that's what gracious would mean there. If he's become that to us, he's saved us from our sin, and he gives us victory over sin, then we should desire that sincere milk of the Word. Jesus had this to say when he was tempted by the devil in Matthew 4 verse 4. Says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so, what should our food consist of? It should consist of the Word of God, our spiritual food. I'm trying to think what I need to leave out here. Ephesians 5, I want to say this. The Bible does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Okay? It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not, but that's the way I see it. Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 27, I'm going to read that. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So the word of God is how we wash ourselves. It's how we make ourselves clean. It's water for us. Second Timothy 2, verse 15, I'm going to read that verse in the Amplified, where it says, study to show thyself approved. I'm going to read that in the Amplified. It gives us instruction on reading the Word of God or studying it. It says in the Amplified, this verse reads like this. I'm reading in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God. To God approved, in other words, tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing and rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. Psalm 119, verse 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. That's Jesus, our greatest treasure. I want to read John 1 yet. I think that we started out with reading that the Word of God came out on a white horse and the armies of heaven followed him. And I don't think that's something that's coming. I think that is something that is in the present day. That's my idea. It's the Word of God and he has his armies following him. Out of his mouth is going a sharp two-edged sword. And in Hebrews it says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 2. And then I'll finish up. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell on you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I forgot here. I missed one of my points I wanted to make here. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 5. I'm going to turn to there and read just a few. Ephesians 5. Verse 25. Oh, I read that one. I forgot verse Ephesians 6. So in Ephesians 6. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I had missed that one when I was talking about the sword. So we see that the word is a sword. Out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. And it says in Hebrews, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So as we read down here through Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 18, we see about putting on, we have the instruction about putting on the armor of God, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished and ready for battle. We see that white horse coming out of heaven with his armies following him. And here we have this picture in Ephesians about having on that armor and all these different things, but he only gives us one weapon with which to fight with. We only have one weapon. All the other things are defensive. We defend ourselves with these things. But the other one is an offensive weapon, and it's the sword of the Spirit. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, which is Jesus, which is the Word of God, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, says there. And so that is, if we're armed with the sword of the Spirit, and that's not to go around punching people in the face either. It's our weapon that we have to fight off our enemy, which is the devil. I went too long here. Thank you all. I'd just like to have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time here. I pray, Lord, that we could take your word into our hearts. That it would be settled and grounded, not once, not twice, but daily, all the time. Lord, help us to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Help us, Lord, to implant these things in our children, that they may grow up to rightly serve and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you for this time. I pray yet for Brother Aiden as he comes up, Lord, you would bless him and anoint him with your Holy Spirit. Give him clarity and boldness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.